This episode of Truth's Table is brought to you by Broadleaf Books, publishers of books that expand the mind, nourish the soul, and cultivate the common good. To learn more, visit broadleafbooks.com. Sisters, how y'all feel? Brothers, y'all all right? If this is your first time at Truth's Table, welcome to the table. And if you've been sitting at the table with us all these years, we are so grateful that you have been listening to us through these years, and we are inviting you to partner with us and support our work at patreon.com/truthstable. Now pull up a chair and have a seat at the table with us. Hey y'all, welcome to Truth's Table, Midwives of Culture for Grace and Truth. I'm Akemini.
And I'm Christina.
This table is built by Black women and for Black women. So welcome to the table, C. How you doing, girl?
We're back in what is the longest year ever in history, 2024.
We're back, season 8 of Truth's Table. Listen, we're going to pat ourselves on the back.
Never would have made it.
Listen, and give God a wave offering and just let him know we appreciate him. Because we...
For sure.
8 seasons of a podcast. I think it's unheard of. We are in a very small segment of the podcasting
honored
world.
Honored and burdened too.
Listen, and still independent. So, hey... You know, so
independent woman.
So what are we talking about? What I guess really, why, what are we going to, what is our theme for this season? Why are we still going? You know, do we still got some things to say?
Is there anything left to be said?
I mean, we said a lot.
We have. We should go back and listen to them and give disclaimers. You know, I think there's still something to be said. Mm-hmm. And because there's always something happening in our social moment. And there's also things that we've forgotten.
That's right.
Right. So So I think that the reason why there is a need for repetition or redundancy or an echo is because we really do forget. I think about how in so many passages in scripture, you get this sense of remember when. And when, especially we talk about from a scriptural standpoint, when the people of God forget, there are so many perilous things that happen when we have this spiritual amnesia, right? And so obviously one of the central stories in the Old Testament is the story of God bringing the Hebrew people out of bondage in Egypt, right? And then we see them become oppressive towards each other and oppressive towards others. And the refrain from the prophets over and over again is, have you forgotten? Mm-hmm. Remember what I brought you from. Mm-hmm. And I think in many ways that's still, we're still at that particular juncture, right? Speaking for the American church, but I would say maybe just the church believers all around the world that we need these reminders. And so in that sense, we and our little part still got something to say, because I think at the very least, we still have a holy echo to contribute to the conversation. What about you?
Amen. Yeah, no, because yeah, when we forget, there are some grave consequences. So we see that time and time and time again, that we end up becoming what we despise.
Right.
You know, and so I think remembering is a form of worship, but we have to remember correctly.
That's right.
Because we can misremember. We can misremember. Some things, you know, those are some things that I'm working on in therapy right now.
Yeah.
Some traumatic incidences or things that we've all, you know, experienced that our mind, you know, processes, you know, in a way that was actually not true to the reality, you know, of what happened, right?
Yeah.
And how God has shown up.
Yeah.
How God delivered.
We can misremember. Yeah.
And when we misremember often, you know, and so how can we know that we are remembering correctly and in alignment with God's purpose and intention with our lives? It is through the word of God, which is why season 8 of Truth's Table is going back to the basics. Okay. We are going back to the basics. We're really just trying to revisit the foundations, you know, of our faith, our discipleship formation, politics. We're going to talk about politics. Yeah. We're going to talk about culture, you know, and how to like discern. Because there's a lot of wild theories going on out there, y'all. I'm like, my
known
gosh,
as
y'all.
Conspiracy theories.
A lot of conspiracy theories.
Yeah. I mean, real life is wild enough. There's no need to conspire. that imagination.
We don't need to put dubs. We do not need to put dubs on.
I mean, the reality is wild enough.
It's wild. It's wild. We do not. Mm-hmm. I promise we do not need to put the 2 on a 10. Yeah. So, yeah. Shout out to E40. Facts. But we are going back.
He watches the show.
The basics. No, because my Bay Area popped out. With that.
For sure.
Don't need to put the 2 on the 10. But yeah, we have to go back. I think it's really, really, really important. I think because I've been discouraged, let me say, by some of the things that I've been seeing in the church. And I don't care. You can pick, you know, your demographic of the church. I just feel like we're losing a lot of the fundamentals and the basics, you know, of the faith. And so to me, I think in these days, in 2024, where these days are perilous, I think we are more than ever, now more than ever, we really have got to get a good handle, you know, on our faith, what we believe, and how, and the congruence, you know, of the gospel and how it should be embodied and lived out. So,
When I'm working with people whose lives surround the health of local churches or denominations or, you know, or Christian organizations, I'm usually often saying something like, watch out for these two cousins of distraction and exhaustion in ministry. Yes,
mm-hmm.
And I think there's good reasons, especially in the last few years, for there to have been such deep exhaustion and distraction, trying to figure out with limited resources, financial and just energy wise, just across the board.
Yeah.
What do you put your attention on? What do you focus on? And distraction, I think, is one of the ways that people get blown around and get off topic and get off focus. And even things like what would be fundamentals of doctrine are just, you know, it's just up in the air. And then obviously exhaustion as well. And so when people are weary and tired and exhausted and broken, that creates a particular scenario for a certain type of temptation. You know, if you think about when Jesus is tempted after that long 40 days of fasting, yeah. mm-hmm. right? And his body is weak because he is fully human. And the enemy tempts him in some specific ways. And I believe that those temptations are still very much present for us throughout the church all around, you know, from continent to continent. But again, those express the way in which our defenses are down and we're not on guard in the right way, not attacking people, but on guard, meaning standing for what we're supposed to believe in.
Within ourselves. Yeah.
And we are getting thrown around by the winds of change and the winds of time. So I am with you in that. I think it's a good time. It's a good season to talk about what it means to go back to the basics.
Yeah. And I you know, we at True State, but we really do try to be as faithful, you know, to the call, you know, that God has for us. So if you notice, we don't really do a lot of, current topics, hot topics, I guess you could say. I'll just say, for lack of a better term, we don't really do like hot topics and things. We try to talk more, a little bit higher about like maybe overarching themes and things that we see. We do address, you know, pop culture and things going on.
Well, there's so much to say.
Because there's so much. I mean, we may go into some of that, you know,
but
we don't really try to cash in, you know, on that clickbaity, you know, type of material. I mean, if we really wanted, you know, to grow the podcast and whatnot,
we're not opposed to growing the podcast.
We could center our whole podcast on relationships.
Oh, for
because
sure.
We could. And that's not a bad thing. I'm just that we could do that. We know that the podcast would absolutely expand and grow, you know, off of those things. We know that, you know, talking about the word of God and getting back to the basics, you know, and helping you understand the faith and walk, you know, walk more congruently in the faith is not sexy. It's probably not going to draw the numbers. It's not, you know, but we have always been much more concerned with honoring the one who rescued us.
Yeah.
You know, when we were stuck in the muck and mire of our sin and delivered us and cleaned us up and made us co-heirs with Christ. And we are grateful for our relationship and our connection to Jesus. And so our aim at Truth Table is to help the saints, you know, to edify the church and to build up the church in that way. Yeah. But also to help us to be wise and discerning people for these times, you know. And so not to say that we have the storehouse of wisdom.
No, no.
We pray for it.
It's a holy echo for us as well, right?
Yes.
It's not, you know, there's not this special that we've not given ourselves this honor of saying, like, we can tell you the truth. I mean, the reason why we talk about us being truth's table is not because we possess truth.
Small t truth.
Yes.
Yeah, small t.
We got some things to say. But the capital T truth is a person, and yes, that is Jesus. And so I hope that people who have followed, or even they're just listening for the very first time, they know that they That's they right. pick that up, that we're pointing people through Truth's Table to the capital T truth, which That's is Jesus. And we do that in ways, I think, that are sometimes heady, sometimes they're funny, and we hope interesting and engaging, right? Because people yes. want people to listen yes, in. Yes. And that's what we hope to try to apply to this particular season, that way of approaching the basics, the basic tenets, foundation of our faith that are shared across traditions from Catholics to Orthodox to Protestants, that are shared from continent to continent, that have been shared
from the apostles.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Throughout time.
Yeah.
And I think in so many ways we have obviously, we have the beautiful expressions of the gospel within our own cultural identity, but there are expressions of the faith that go amongst all people groups, if it be the real faith.
That's right.
And that's what we mean by back to the basics, that's like right. those things. Right. And so I am eager to be refreshed in those things and to be refreshed in that conversation.
Me too. Yeah.
And I think it's an invitation to all of us to an opportunity to mature, and we're going to need to be more mature for what is ahead of us.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, on that note, let's take a quick commercial break. And we will be right back, pay some bills, and we'll be right back here at this table. So don't go nowhere. Keep it locked, y'all.
Of all the human emotions, anger is probably the most misunderstood. Why is it important for us to understand anger at all? Counselor and psychotherapist Julie A. Christensen believes that when we map out our anger, we can learn to manage it. Her new book, The Rise of Rage, Harnessing the Most Misunderstood Emotion, helps to free us from anger. With a 10-step program full of practical exercises such as defining your anger style, understanding your belief systems, and releasing residual anger, The Rise of Rage will help you enhance communication in all types of relationships, develop tools for resolving anger, give effective feedback and criticism, harness the power of forgiveness and acceptance, and more. Get your copy of The Rise of Rage now at broadleafbooks.com or anywhere books are sold.
And we are back here at the table talking about going back to the basics.
Come on now.
So.
We've obviously left them.
Because we left them by the wayside, listen, my gosh. Listen. So, yeah, see, so what are some things that you have noticed that you feel precipitated the need to go back to basics for us as Christians?
Yeah. So, well, let me just start with this. When you said, what are some things that I've noticed? Let me tell you how I've noticed it. And okay. So I want to give that disclaimer because I do think there's a way in which social media presents itself like it is all of life. Like it's an accurate empirical tool that represents what all people are thinking. And there's a huge segment of the population that does not use social media. I know that huge. That shocks the people. It's just like almost like voting, like how most people don't vote, right?
Well,
so there's a significant population that don't use social media. So in a sense, there are times when we look at things and we're like, man, it's wild over in Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, TikTok, you name it. So I want to give that as a disclaimer when I say that I've noticed conversations on social media, because I do think even though social media doesn't reflect all the people, I do think it plants particular seeds that end up in the conversations and in the belief systems and shaping the organizations amongst people who don't even deal with social media, but it's dealing with you.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you don't deal with social media, it is going to deal with you. It's definitely going to influence your parishioners, going to influence your community at some point. So you should probably know what they're saying or what's happening.
That's right.
And I would say that's the space where I have seen over the last couple of years, conversations come up, conversations/arguments, debates, particularly amongst people who identify as Christians, about topics around Christian doctrine that in some ways seem, in my mind, seem settled or seem core or central to the faith. And what that lets me know is that we are having some different metrics about what is an essential of the faith.
Yeah. What's an example of, you know, maybe one that you've seen, just one example of what you've seen, or you're like, huh, I thought that's pretty subtle.
Yeah, I mean, there was one that went viral fairly recently where a person who I'm thinking probably may have been newer to the faith, but was talking about in a way that didn't really recognize Jesus's identity as fully human and fully God.
Oh, that's a clear hypostatic union.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's one of those doctrinal beliefs when we think about early church councils,
yeah.
And the apostles themselves,
yes.
Prioritizing that, right? There are other things that people will make like it's an essential that is not an essential.
That's right.
That is one of those things that is an essential, the divinity of Jesus. And really the broader Trinitarian beliefs as well, right? So I would say that from the Orthodox to the Catholic to the Protestant church are things that, you know, people tend to hold hands on, right?
Right.
But yet it was presented in a way as if this is a debatable concept within Orthodox, small o, mm-hmm. not C, small o, Christianity. Mm. And I thought this is worth more conversation.
Wow. Okay. I did not yeah. see that. That's good to know.
Yeah.
And just, you know, the hypostatic union holds that Jesus is 100% man and 100% God.
Yeah.
And so my grandmama taught me that.
Well, and there's a reason why, but that's not just like jargon. That's not just like some minutia.
No.
The reason why that matters, there's probably 100 reasons why it matters, but one reason just really quick for people who are listening, like, so what's
why does it matter? Yeah.
Because Jesus takes our place.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus still represents us now in his glorified state as our great high priest who identifies with us. Because he's one of us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That really matters. And then obviously Jesus being fully God also really matters, right? Because Jesus has the power to save us and to come towards us in love. And so there are, again, 100 reasons why that matters. And I think it just demonstrates that we are preaching and talking about a whole bunch of stuff, but unfortunately, maybe not enough about just some of the concrete basics. Are there things that you have noticed that have stood out to you, whether it's doctrinal or whether it's an implication of not understanding or holding to a particular basic point of the faith?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you lifted up the hypostatic union. I didn't see that, you know, but I'm not surprised, you know, that's, you know, come into question on social media. I hazard to guess, was it Twitter?
No, I think that was Facebook.
Oh, okay.
But you know, okay. they're all interconnected.
Okay. Because you know, the people, they be having y'all really want to have a dense theological discussion on Twitter with 140 characters?
First of all, it's not called Twitter.
Oh, it's called X. It's formerly known as
Twitter. like Prince, formerly, the artist formerly known.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't recommend having nuanced and in-depth theological conversations on Twitter.
No.
You just can't do, you know, Christian theology.
Sunday school.
The justice that it needs, you know, on a forum like that. So anyway, but I digress. So what I have seen in some ways are things like that, in not understanding the Trinity,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm like, oh my goodness, y'all, this is what fundamentally makes us Christian.
Right.
Is that our God, that's one God in three persons.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed Trinity. You know, that's foundational and that is core, you know, to our faith. I've seen that. But I've also just seen, you know, what I've been seeing online is this, I don't know how else to describe it, but it really harkens back to Galatians 3, when Paul is writing to the Galatians and saying, you know, oh, you know, Galatians, like who bewitched you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're running such a good race.
Ah, yes.
You know, you started in the spirit and then now you're trying, you know, to live by the letter of the law. You know, and in some ways, what I'm noticing is this permission, license to accept licentiousness, a license to indulge in the flesh, a license to live your truth, which means you get to live however you want, you know, apart from any counsel. From anybody that's older
and there are neighbor implications for how we live our lives.
Absolutely. Always. Mm-hmm. You know, but without any regard for what God has already instructed us on how we ought to live according to his word. And the reason why the word, you know, doesn't hold weight is that, well, we don't believe that the word is infallible. We don't believe it's inerrant. We don't really believe it's God's word. That has implications for how we decide, how we're going to live, you know, as Christians. If we believe the Bible is simply just like any other book, then you can take it or leave it. And you can take out what you want and you can put in, you know, what you want. It doesn't matter. You get to live however you want, you know, but if it is the, if it is the word of God, if it is truly God breathed, useful for teaching and correcting in righteousness, then
we gotta reckon
with that.
It's gonna reckon with us.
Okay. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Because heaven and earth will pass away, you know, but the words that God has given us, they will not, you know? And so I think there's really grave consequences for that. And I just see, and so I guess in really fundamentally a lack of the teaching of holiness, you know? And I think that was something I had to, reckon with. It was something I was on a panel about even last year, talking about holiness. And, I just noticed a hole in our holiness. And it really does concern me.
Yeah. And see, here's the thing. If you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian, then it's just like, okay, this is life.
Yeah, I mean,
as a matter of fact, scripture tells us that it's like foolishness. It's like, what in the world is happening? This is just like a whole nother language. And what are the people talking about? And so that makes sense. It is certainly it's certainly an in-group conversation. And it's for people who claim to be in fellowship and to speak with the authority on other issues with the word of God, right? So we're all of us are real selective with that. You brought up Galatians and about the way in which we may use our freedom in Christ as liberty to do whatever we want without consulting Christ. And Galatians 5 talks about that. It puts into conversation this parallel between both legalism and lawlessness, right? So you're noting like the lawlessness elements, but the legalism piece, I would say, is also a function of some doctrinal holes too.
Sure, absolutely.
Where we are picking fights about music, about concerts, about organization. I mean, like there's a long list of like, I want to say this with my chest, and yet we're not focusing on the essentials of the faith.
That's
and again, we ought to be discerning every element of our lives.
Yes.
But quite often we are lawless when it comes to what we get to do, and we're legalistic
about what
other people get to do.
That's right.
And the freedom that is described in Galatians 5 that we have, and then we are set free for freedom's sake, it is a freedom to love others. Yes.
And the love of God compels us.
Exactly.
It constrains us.
So we're like, I'm free. But you're going to have to sit with Galatians 5 and really, you know, because it's a freedom that points in a very specific direction. It is a freedom to stop on the road. It is a freedom to stop on the road when the Levite and everybody else has passed by the person who has been injured. It is a freedom to be like the Good Samaritan. It is a freedom to give generously. It's a freedom to
lay down our lives.
It's a freedom to forgive people that are ridiculous and hard to deal with.
That's right.
So our freedom is in a very specific direction. It's absolutely. And I think when we hear freedom, particularly in the kind of our Western modern context, we think freedom as I have the freedom to self-actualize. We're very much looking at kind of a certain kind of psychological and embodiment concepts around what we think freedom is. But the freedom is not, you know, we think about, you know, America, you know, freedom ain't free. You think about the people who feel like they're super patriotic. Well, no, from a scriptural standpoint, for Christians, I don't know about for Americans, but for Christians, our freedom is a freedom that is on the agenda of loving others well and loving others sacrificially. And that has nothing to do with who stands or who sits during the Pledge of Allegiance.
Hello. Exactly. You know, and then, you know, when we talk about, you know, the love of Christ and how it, you know, constrains us and it holds us, you know, and the freedom we have in Christ, you know, that freedom is bound to the nails, you know, because we have been crucified with Christ, right? And so by virtue of our union with Christ, we suffer with Christ and we also experience the blessings, you know, of Christ. And I think it's really important to remember that there are, this love does indeed constrain us, you know, and so we don't go where we want to go.
Yeah.
We don't do what we want to do. And hopefully we lose some of our appetite, you know, to go and do the things that we used to do and to desire and to lust after the things that we used to desire and lust after. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm not saying that we're totally perfected, Like, you know, as you know, we're in a process of sanctification, sure. But our appetite ought to be, you know, changing, you know, to some degree. And so, yeah, I just am really deeply concerned with that. And I think the other reason why I'm really concerned about the way that we live, mm-hmm. and giving in to the flesh and saying, oh, you can do whatever, you know, co-signing. One, we think that we're more gracious than God. And if we're thinking that way, that's pride. That's something that has got to be.
And delusion.
And delusion. that has to be eliminated from our lives, right? But then also hypocrisy.
Right.
Hypocrisy is a stumbling block to the gospel. And that keeps so many people away from Christ. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are so many not yet believers that know exactly how Christians are supposed to live. They know.
Right.
They know. Why? Because the law of God is written on their hearts too, because they are made in the image of God. They just have not yet submitted, you know, on their lives to Christ yet. We prayerfully, they do. You know, we hope for that and we pray for that. But our hypocrisy is a huge stumbling block.
Right.
And we see it all the time. We see news reports about abuse in the church. We see news reports about financial impropriety in the church. Right. We see it. You can name it. You know, I bet you not yet believers know better than us.
Right.
You know, the scandals and the news that they hear, you know, about people or the people that they know in their own lives that say that they love Christ, but they're living just like them. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what's up?
Yeah.
You know,
well, there's a reason why evangelical, the term that we use here in the States and in our modern context, is a political movement.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So it's a political movement. But historically, when we think about evangelical, we're talking about, you know, the four or five core beliefs about the views around scripture and the divinity of Christ.
It's more
humanity.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it really is shorthand in the American context for a political power, for a political entity, and I would even say a consumer. You know, it's even like people
and white marketing. And white political power.
It's very, absolutely. Yeah. So it's both racialized as well. And the reason why they associate all of Christianity with evangelicalism is because of just how politically powerful that movement is and how much it's sucking the air out of the room. And it's all over the news. It's everywhere. So it's...
That's right.
We have to push back on that, because if there is one thing that we are called to be is witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have false witnesses who are saying that we are the same or that we're not actually witnesses at all, we have to speak out. And so another reason why it's important for us to talk about back to the basics is because, again, there are these political movements that are really about unjust power and the unjust use of power, that are doing this in the name of our faith, and they're doing this in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that is enough for us to say, full stop, it's time for Sunday school again. Because people need to be able to differentiate in the faith and outside the faith, the difference between the people who are called to lay down their lives and the people who are advocating for the taking of lives of other people.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And so when they, you know, when people, you know, and the reality is that regardless of where you identify, where you fall within American Christendom, we are still all put in the same pot. That's right. We're still put in the same pot of stew.
That's right. So
it really doesn't matter what the brown church is doing, what the black church is doing, what the gold church is doing, what the white church is doing. If they're cutting up and if they are in any way oppressing or living in ways that are contrary to the gospel, and they're telegraphing, you know, that type of living toward the masses, you know, who are not yet reached or have not yet come into the faith, then we are all associated.
I mean, with that. I mean, we're all cousins.
Yeah. So whether you like it or not, I know we don't like that. You know, that's them over there.
Yeah. Nobody's doing that.
Nobody's making those types of distinctions.
They're not.
And then even if they do, on the off chance that they do make that distinction, then what are they going to see?
Right.
What are they going to see? They're going to see you swag surfing in the sanctuary. Is that what we're doing in Jesus' name? Listen, I love a swag surf. there's nothing wrong with swag surfing in and of itself. See, this is where the sermon comes in. But there's a time and a place for everything.
Well, and I would say even more, amen. And then I would say, and additionally, what we show that's happening in our services, the way in which that intersects with media and social media, we have to just have wisdom around that.
That's right.
Because there are some conversations and there are some moments that really are family business.
Yeah, absolutely.
And people and everyone in that space has the ability to discern and know what's happening in the moment. If you think about one of the big issues happening in the early church in the New Testament is that people are filled with the Spirit and they are demonstrating a variety of gifts. And one of those gifts, right, is speaking in tongues. And then and so speaking in tongues in terms of heavenly language, so to speak, but also speaking an ability of other languages. Mm-hmm. And this and we get these moments where the leaders of the church are like, yes, yes, it's so good that you all do that. And do that. And it's good that you do that. You know, do that a lot. Mm-hmm. And would we all do that? That's kind of the emphasis.
Yeah.
And then they're like, but when company is here, you're going to need an interpreter. And not only when we're talking about a spiritual language or a spiritual manifestation of a gifting, just whatever's happening that you're showing publicly to the world without interpretation, then you leave yourself vulnerable to their interpretation based on the resources that they're pulling from. And they don't have all the information. They don't have,
exactly.
And so that is actually our responsibility. Now, mm-hmm. no one is going to understand all the things that we do. But when you think about the early church being called cannibals because of the way people talked about communion, right?
Yes, yes.
That's a classic yes. example of that. And so,
yep. Drink my blood, eat my flesh.
Right, yeah. right. And so we have to own that we are weird sometimes, not peculiar, weird yeah. sometimes, and that we have to be ready to actually give an account and explain
for our weirdness.
Right, as to not lead people astray.
Yeah.
And again, we don't want the news story to be the next day about how people can move their bodies in a service. We want the news story the next day to be about the love of God and the change of heart and compassion to our neighbors. And again, all that might be happening in these different churches, but that's not the news story the next day.
Yeah, it's not a news story about the mighty move of God in the place and miraculous signs and things that were happening because of Spirit, you know.
Right.
To control it and whatnot. Yeah. So anyway, we're just scratching the surface, yeah. but we're hoping to get, you know, deeper into some of these things that we've raised and lifted up yeah. Here in this first episode of season 8 of Truth Table, back to the basics. So I hope y'all will roll yeah. with us as we continue to dive deeper into all of these things. So of course we want to thank you all for mm-hmm. sitting at the table with us. Let's keep the conversation going, please.
Oh, they got things to say.
Oh, I know they got things to say. So you can always, you know, you could always put your comments on Instagram. You can email us at asktruthtable@gmail.com, or you could tweet us as well. Still, we're still on Twitter, you know, or X, I'm sorry, formerly known as Twitter. You can, you know, tweet. I think we still say tweet. So you can still tweet us there. So we'd love to get your response to going back to the basics. So thank y'all for sitting at the table with us, and we'll see you next time.